Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start reading verse 41. This is after Peter has preached his very first message. In verse 41, it says, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day," say each day, "and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of the operation of addition. The operation of addition. Let's pray. Father, God, I ask in these next few moments you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything you have for us today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, high five somebody. Tell them, get ready. Get ready. Come on, high five. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Come on, get ready. I love the book of Acts because the book of Acts is filled with miracles. It's filled with salvations and faith. And though it does have its trials and troubles and persecution, the overall theme of the book of Acts is one of great victory. And as we read through the book of Acts, what we are actually reading about is we are reading about the disciples of Jesus carrying out the Great Commission. And it was after Jesus had died and been resurrected that he shows up to his disciples and he gives them this Great Commission. He gives them this mission on the earth, and it's found in Matthew 28. And this is what Jesus came and told his disciples: "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go." Somebody say go. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you." Wow, what a great mission. What a great commission that Jesus gave the disciples. But let me tell you this morning, a great commission needs a powerful companion. A great commission needs a powerful companion. And Jesus had given them this great commission, but then in Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus urging the disciples, "Do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift that the Father promised. Do not leave Jerusalem until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit." And he tells them that when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will receive power on the inside and you will have power to be my witnesses. You will tell people about me everywhere you go, because Jesus knew that they had to have power for this mission. They could not rely upon their own strength. They could not rely upon their own knowledge and what they had heard over the last few years. No, no, no. They needed the supernatural power of God. God needed to bring his super into their natural so there could be a collision on that day, so they could be filled up with the supernatural power of God so that they could carry out this mission that God had for them. And let me just tell you today, 2,000 years later, the mission for the church hasn't changed. 2,000 years later, the same mission that Jesus gave those disciples is the same mission that he is giving us. And I am so grateful that Peter, James, and John, and all those disciples, I am so grateful that they played their part in history. But I just want you to know that I want to play my part as well. I want to fulfill my role in history. I want to fulfill my part in building the kingdom of God on the earth and getting the gospel message of Jesus out to everyone. And we know that these men and women were successful. We know that because we are here this morning. And if you think about it just for a moment, they started out as a handful of believers, and today there is a world full of believers. They started out as just a handful of believers, and today there is a world full of believers. People today in every tongue and every nationality lifting up their voice, worshiping Jesus today, opening the Word of God and receiving truth today. The name of Jesus is being proclaimed on every continent because I just want to look for a moment at how they carried out this mission and to see how we can carry out our mission as well. I'm going to give you three things the disciples did that we can react. The first is this: they prepped. Preparation is essential to production. If you want to produce, you must be willing to prepare. I expected to get a few more amens or at least some head nods on that. If you want to produce, you must be willing to prepare. The late pastor Robert Schuller said this: spectacular achievement is always preceded by unspectacular preparation. Spectacular achievement, what you see in the ring, what you see out there on the field, what you witness on the stage, spectacular achievement, it is always done because there was unspectacular preparation. It was what happened behind the scenes. It was what happened when nobody else was watching, when the crowd wasn't there yet. And Muhammad Ali, the great boxer and great quote guy, man, he's got some of the best quotes. I mean, come on. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You know, I mean, I'm just, it's got some things just stuck in there. Muhammad Ali, this is what Muhammad Ali said. He said, the fight is won or lost far away from witnesses, behind the lines, in the gym, and out there on the road, long before I dance under those lights. He would say, I have success in the ring because I prepare myself outside of the ring. I am stepping into great achievements because I am willing to go through the unspectacular preparation that allows me to have success whenever I step into that ring. And when we look at the disciples, they had tremendous success, but they were able to produce because they were prepped. And one of the ways that the disciples prepped is they prepped by praying. They prepped by praying. This is what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says, they all met together and were constantly united in prayer. They all met together and they were constantly united in prayer. And Jesus himself had taught these disciples how to pray. And this is how Jesus taught them to pray in Matthew chapter 6. He says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. Your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Instead, pray like this. And Jesus gives us all a model of prayer. And he starts with this. He says, our Father. Our Father. You see, it's so important that you start your prayers as our Father, because sometimes we're tempted to think that God is judging us, that God is sending lightning bolts down because we're not obeying or because we're not being perfect, that God is rejecting us as a judge and as a ruler. But Jesus said, no, you start your prayer with God is our Father. He is Daddy God. He has arms opened and he is receiving us in. And he says, our Father in heaven. And it's so important you know that your Father is in heaven, because that lets you know that you are serving a big God. He is a big God. And if he was big enough to create the heavens and the earth, then let me tell you, he is still in control of the heavens and the earth. He hasn't lost control. And so Jesus said, you need to pray, and you need to pray, our Father who is in heaven, you are big and you are in control, and may your name be kept holy because you're righteous and because you're pure and because there is nobody else like you. He says, may your kingdom come soon. God, may you bring heaven to earth today. May the presence of heaven invade earth today. May the glory of heaven invade my life today. Bring everything that is heaven and bring it to earth. May heaven and earth collide, as we sang last week. And may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know the key to God's will being done on earth is when, as God's people, we do his will? So it isn't, God, just let your will be done in all these surrounding places. No, when you pray this, you say, God, let your will be done in me. It's not my will. It's not my way. It's not my opinion. It's not what I think about life. God, I want your will to be done on the earth, but let your will come through me. Let my will be broken. Let your will reign in my life. Let your way be accomplished in me and through me. That's what Jesus taught us to pray. And then he says this, give us today the food we need. There are two types of food you need. You need physical food, you need food for your belly, and you need food for your soul. And you need to pray that God would give you what you need for both. If you are hungry, the Bible says that if Jesus takes care of the birds, he cares a lot more about you than he does the birds. Jesus will feed you too. And if you need food, you need to pray and believe that God will provide food for you, because he will. But even more importantly, when you wake up, you need food for your soul. You need to pray, God, give me food and sustenance for my soul today, so that I'm not walking around weary today, so I'm not weak today. God, strengthen me on the inside. Give me the food that I need. This is the way Jesus taught us to pray. And he says, and forgive us our sins. Jesus made it plural, because he knew us. It wouldn't be, God, forgive me for my sin. No, it would be plural. It would be, God, forgive me for my sins today. It was going to be a lot. And then he says, forgive me for my sins, because it's ongoing as well. This isn't a one-time prayer. You don't get to pray one time, God, forgive me. No. You keep coming back to God saying, God, forgive me for my sins. Why? Because it reminds you that he's a savior. It reminds you that you are a sinner, and you're reminded of your need and your dependence on him. So he says, come to him every day and say, God, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me where I don't match up. Forgive me where I don't meet the standard, because I want to meet the standard. I want to get sin out of my life so that your presence can invade and overtake me. God, forgive me for my sins. And then he moves into this next thing that's really powerful, and he says, and we have forgiven those who've sinned against us. Woo! He says, pray every day. I have forgiven those who wronged me. I have forgiven those who cheated me. I have forgiven those who betrayed me. I have forgiven those who talked about me behind my back. I'm forgiving those who walked out on me. I am forgiving those people in my life. I am forgiving those who have sinned against me. And some of that, you just have to let it go. You just have to let it go. I'm telling you, man, Elsa was onto something when she just said, let it go, let it go. I mean, it's the Lord's prayer. Let it go. Forgive people. And Jesus said, and don't let us yield to temptation. Don't let us just give in to temptation just because, oh, well, we were born sinful. Oh, well, the Lord knows I'm going to sin. The Lord knows I'm flawed. The Lord knows my struggle. Jesus said, no, it doesn't have to be that way. You can pray, Lord, don't let us yield to temptation. God, help me to fight today. Help me to fight the good fight. Help me to stand in faith. Help me to stand in victory. I refuse just to yield to temptation and to yield to sin. No, God, help me. And then he said this, and rescue me from the evil one. The enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy is setting traps, but guess what? The Lord has come so that you could be rescued from the traps, so that you don't have to live as a prisoner, so that you don't have to live in bondage. Jesus came to set you free and to liberate you. You don't have to live that way. You can pray, Lord, rescue me from the evil one. And let me tell you this morning, you need to pray every day. You need to pray every day. You don't need to pray on Sundays only. You don't need to pray just whenever you find yourself in a jam. You need to pray every day. And hear me this morning. You don't need to just pray, God bless this food, thank you for it. You don't need just to pray right before you roll off into sleep, God, watch over me as I rest tonight. No, no, no. Those are prayers that you say over and over. That's repetition. Jesus said, don't pray like that. Don't pray like that because he's a father. He's a father and he wants to have conversation with you. He wants relationship with you. He doesn't just want a few words cast up every time, the same thing over and over and over. You wouldn't want me to come over to your house and just say the same thing to you over and over and over. No, we want relationship. We have to understand that God wants conversation. So you need to have conversations with God about what's in your mind. You need to have conversations with God about what's on your heart. You need to have conversation with God about what's coming out of your life. As shameful as it is, as disgusting as it is, as bad as it is, you need to have conversations with God about it because he already knows what's in there anyway. He already knows what's coming out of your life, and it's never going to change until you start talking to God about it. So God says, why don't you bring those things to me and we can start working on these things so that we can bring transformation in your life. We got to pray every day. The disciples prepped through praying. They were meeting and praying every day. But they didn't just prep through praying. They prepped through equipping. They prepped through equipping. They were getting equipped for the challenge that was ahead of them. And that takes place that we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says, during the 40 days after Jesus suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Jesus was showing up and he was spending time with the disciples and he was talking to them about the kingdom of God. He was talking to them about the church. He was talking to them about the body of Christ. He was talking to them about his Father's business on the earth. And let me tell you this, you need to be equipped and you get equipped whenever you get around Jesus. Now let me just tell you, the best way to do that is right there in your Bible. Right there in your Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was talking to the people in the crowd. But even more importantly, Jesus was talking to you. And when you open the Bible and you begin to read the words in red, the words that Jesus said, what you are seeing in that moment, you are seeing Jesus talking to you. And you need to spend time with Jesus being equipped for the call on your life. You need to spend time with Jesus in his presence. Because you're equipped to handle what you're going to face. Your preparation comes from his presence. I want you to think about something and the difference that it makes. If you are driving to work and you are listening to talk radio and you're listening to the news and you're hearing about all the bad things that happen and all the things that are wrong with every presidential candidate and all the things that are going wrong with our economy and how many people died in shootings, and you're listening to all the things that are going wrong, and you get to work at 9 o'clock and 9:30 you have a problem that arises on the job. In that moment, there is no way you can have a positive mindset. There is no way that you can feel victory rise up on the inside of you because your preparation was not equipping you for that moment. Your preparation was handicapping you for that moment so you wouldn't be able to respond the way that you need to. But if you spend that drive to work and you put in that worship CD and you spend your whole drive to work just talking about how good God is, how faithful God is, how much you love God and how much he loves you, when you start making the declarations that destiny was making, God, you have a hope for me and a future. God, you haven't abandoned me. You're the God who is with me. You are Emmanuel. And you spend your whole drive to work. And let me tell you, 9:30 rolls around and the problem shows up in your life. Well, then everything that you have prepped and equipped on the inside, it's going to rise up in that moment so that you're ready to fight adversity, so that you're ready to take on whatever life is giving you in that moment because you prepared. And because you prepared, you can produce what you want to produce. You see, the disciples were with Jesus. They were being prepared. They were preparing themselves. They were being equipped. And this is what the Bible says that we read in our main text, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, all the believers, say all the believers.
All the believers,
all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That is the word of God now. The things that the apostles taught, that has now been written down in the Word of God. We have the apostles' teaching. We have the teaching of Jesus. It is recorded, and you can buy it for $9.99 at Lifeway. You can go get your own copy of what the apostles said, and you can begin to devote yourself to being equipped by the words of Jesus. And it says they also devoted themselves to prayer. What they were saying is, we are devoting ourselves to being prepared because we know we have a great mission, so we are committing to the apostles' teaching, and we're committing ourselves to prayer. And because we are preparing, we know that when a moment shows up, we're going to be ready for that moment. When adversity comes, we're going to be ready for adversity. When opportunity comes, we're going to be ready for opportunity. Why? Because we've prepped well. We've prepped well. It's so important that you understand that you have to get equipped. And the other place you get equipped is not just in the Word. You don't just get equipped in the presence, but you get equipped here in church. You get equipped here in church. When you come here and you hear the Word of God, and you hear the Word of God unfolded and explained, when you hear the Word of God, this is a critical part of you being equipped. And sometimes people think that it's the pastor's job to build the church. They think it's the evangelist's job to build the church. No, this is what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Listen to this. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church. My responsibility is to equip you. My responsibility is to instruct you, to inspire you, to fill you up with truth, to fill you up with the power and the Spirit of God on Sunday, so that what? So that you can be equipped to go out there and build the church, so that you can go out there and do the work of the kingdom, so you can go out there and do what God has called you to do as the body of Christ. You see, that's what you have been called to do, so you better prep. You better prep, you better pray, and you better get equipped. Let's move on. The second thing that the disciples did that we can react, the second thing the disciples did that we can react is they stepped. So first they prepped, second they stepped. In Acts chapter 2, there's a powerful encounter that the disciples had with the Holy Spirit, and you can read that as we read through the book of Acts, and the power of God moves in. The Bible says there was like tongues of fire that set upon each and every one of them. They began to speak in other tongues. And this was amazing because there were Jewish people from all different regions of the world who had come into Jerusalem for this festival. And whenever they began to hear the disciples speaking in their own language, they were amazed. They were perplexed. They said, what does this mean? What is going on right now? And in verse 14 in chapter 2, it says this, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles, and he shouted to the crowd. Peter saw an opportunity. The disciples saw an opportunity, and they stepped right into the moment. You know, the kingdom of God is built by stepping up, not by skipping out. It's the only way for the kingdom of God to be built. The kingdom of God is built when people step up and not skip out. And when you step up, what you're doing is you're stepping in. When you step up, you are stepping into a problem. You are stepping into a void. You are stepping in to be the answer. You are stepping in to give in that moment. And let me just say this to you this morning. There will always be a valid reason not to step up. There will always be an available excuse to skip out and not step up. Let's just think about Peter just for a moment. The excuses that he could have used. And let me tell you, he had some pretty good excuses that he could have pulled out. How about this? Hey, guys, just 2 months ago, I was saying that I'd never even met Jesus before. 2 months ago, I said, I don't even know Jesus. I don't even know who you're talking about. Three times they asked me, and three times I denied Jesus. That would have been a pretty good excuse. He could have used the excuse to say, the guy that I'm about to talk about, they hung him on a cross right in our plain sight. It did not end too good for him, so I think I'm going to take a different approach. He could have used the example of said, man, I'm the guy who was always saying the wrong thing. I've got this tendency of always putting my foot in my mouth. Jesus reprimanded me more than anybody else. Why don't somebody else step forward and say something? Or he could have used the one that we always like to use, and this would have been the best one he could have pulled out of his excuse arsenal in that moment, and he could have said, I have never done this before. I've never spoke to a crowd this large before. I've never preached the gospel since Jesus has been dead and resurrected. I have never done this before. But you see, Peter didn't skip out. He stepped up, and so can you. Because he stepped up when he saw the opportunity, you can step up when you see the opportunity as well. And listen to me this morning, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be a perfect Christian. You don't have to have lots of experience to step in and step up and help someone. You don't have to have a PhD in theology, but you do have to have courage. You don't have to have 5 years of experience in Christianity, but you do have to have boldness on the inside of you. You can step up and say, this week I'm going to make sure I feed somebody. Next week I'm going to make sure that I give something away. Next week I'm going to make sure that I put some clothes on somebody's back. Next week I'm going to make sure that I go visit somebody who is hurting. The week after that, I'm going to make sure that I invite somebody to church. I am going to do it. I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the experience, but I have the courage on the inside of me. I have the power of God at my back. I've got the boldness and the burden, and I've got to do something. Ignore all the reasons to skip out. There'll be so many. Ignore them all and determine that this is my season to step up. This is the moment for me to step into my opportunity. And that's exactly what Peter did. And let me tell you, when he stepped in, God showed up. When he stepped in, God showed up in a powerful way. And God will do the same for you. Here's the third thing that the disciples did, that we can react, that we can perform again. The disciples prepped. They stepped, and thirdly, they repped. They repped. After Peter stepped, he repped. You say, I'm not familiar with this word. It's in the Urban Dictionary online. Okay, it's there. You can see it. They repped Jesus. They repped Jesus. He stepped up, and he represented Jesus, and he preached the gospel message. He preached the very heart of God. He preached the grace of Christ and the love of the Father. And these are just some of the things that Peter declares in Acts chapter 2 as he preaches his very first sermon. He says things like this in the text, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He says, but God raised Jesus from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. He said, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. He was saying, this is the promised one. This is the Son of God. This is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Hear me loud and clear and be certain of this thing. He is Lord and he is Messiah. And what I love about it is that the disciples weren't pointing their fingers at everything that was wrong with the crowd. They were pointing their fingers at everything that was right about Jesus. And sometimes we can get so focused on what's wrong with the crowd. We can get so focused on what's wrong with our neighbor, what's wrong with our family. We can get so focused what's wrong with society that we forget that that is the very reason why Jesus died. We forget that Jesus died for the crowd. We forget that Jesus died for the lost. We forget that Jesus died for the deceived and the rebellious. We forget that Jesus died for the thief and the adulterer. And that's why our message always has to be about pointing to Jesus, not pointing at the flaws, not pointing at what's wrong, not pointing at all of the sin, not pointing at those things, because there's only one hope for that person, and it's not your finger pointing at them. There's only one breakthrough for that person, and it's not your accusation. The only hope that they have is by getting Jesus Christ into their heart and into their life and letting Jesus do what only Jesus can do, and that is to transform their lives. And because Peter just stepped out and he just repped Jesus, he just represented Jesus, he represented the heart of the Father, he just pointed to everything that Jesus was, and because he repped Jesus, 3,000 people were added to the church that day. That's a pretty good first sermon. 3,000 added to the church. You see, not only did the disciples rep Jesus that day, not only did they represent Jesus well that day, the disciples continued to get their reps. See, the first rep is from the Urban Dictionary. The second rep is from the Coach's Dictionary. Because there's power in repetition. There's power in never giving up. There's power in trying it one more time. And when I read 3,000 people, most times people are just, wow, 3,000 people got added to the church. That's glorious. I wonder how many people didn't. How many people heard the message that day? Because if there was only 3,000, it would have said everybody in attendance. That's not what it said. I want to know how many people didn't get added that day. How many people were added the following days? How many people were added the following weeks? How many people were added a month later? Because we know there were people, because in the text that we read in Acts chapter 2, it said, and each day, say each day. And each day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Each day. Why? Because the disciples just kept repping, and they kept repping, and they kept sharing the same message, and they kept sharing the same hope, and they kept talking about the same Jesus. And even though they didn't respond to the first altar call, they just kept on coming. And day after day, those who were just a little bit intrigued went home, and they went to sleep, and they were thinking about Jesus, and they were pondering about God, and could this really be true? And because the disciples weren't just a one-hit wonder, they didn't show up with one great day and go, wow, well, we represented Jesus today. Let's just go on our way and live our lives. No, they came back day after day, meal after meal, sermon after sermon, and they just kept on repping the message of Jesus over and over and over again. They got their reps. They got their reps. They got their reps, and they did it through the entire book of Acts. They just kept on repping it out. Jesus. More Jesus. More Jesus, more Jesus, more Jesus. You see the pattern that the disciples used to carry out the commission? It's the same pattern that you can use. The same pattern that the disciples used to change the world is the exact same pattern that you can use to change your world today. They prepped. They prayed and they were equipped. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do it. Anybody today can commit themselves to prayer. Anybody today can commit themselves to reading the Word and to getting in the presence of Jesus and by showing up to church so they can be equipped to go and to build the church. Anybody can do that today. You don't have to have a special pedigree. You don't have to be from a certain family. You don't have to have been in church since you were 5 years old. Anybody today, regardless of your past, you can show up and say, man, I'm ready to prep. I'm going to start praying and I'm going to start getting equipped. And then they just stepped. Simple. They saw an opportunity and they stepped into it. This week you're going to have an opportunity to feed people who are hungry. And all you have to do is step into that opportunity. over the next few weeks, you're going to have opportunities to do things maybe some of you have never done, and you're just going to have an opportunity to step into it. And then when we get to Action Sunday on September 20th, you're going to have an opportunity just to step in with an invitation. You say, now is not the time for me to skip out. Now is the time for me to step in. It's time for me to step up, and I'm going to do that by just extending an invitation for somebody to come with me so that they might hear about the goodness of my God. Anybody can follow that pattern. Anybody. And finally, anybody can rep. Anybody can rep. Everybody in this room can represent Jesus the best way you know how. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for 4 decades or you've been saved for 4 days. You can represent Jesus the best way you know how. And you know what else you can do? You can rep it out every day. Every day, every week, you just keep on getting your reps, getting your reps, getting your reps, and getting your reps, because you know that if you rep Jesus over and over again and you represent him the best you can, you are going to see lives transformed. You're going to see neighborhoods transformed. You're going to see friends and family transformed. You're going to see the nations of the world transformed, because just like the disciples, you determine, I'm going to get my reps. You see, it was their pattern, and it's our pattern as well. We're going to prep. We're going to step, and we're going to rep. And that's all we're going to do in the React series. And you can do it. All it demands is for you to react. React to the message. I told you at the beginning, I was talking to you about the operation of addition. The operation of addition. The process of addition. The operation of addition is always found in your action. Always. If you want things in your life, if you're ready to add some things into your life, it's going to take action. You can't keep doing the same things you've always done, or you're going to keep getting the same results you've always got. It's going to take action. You're going to have to plant some things. You're going to have to water some stuff. You're going to have to prune some things in your life. You're going to have to begin to work. If you want to see more joy in your life, more love in your life, more forgiveness in your life, if you want to see more kindness in your life and more self-control, if you want to see more of the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to take work. But the great thing about it is anybody can do it. You just got to react. Say, man, I've got a reaction. I can't just sit here. Listen, I've got to have a reaction. And so the operation of addition is found in your action personally. And the operation of addition for the kingdom is found in your action as well. And this week, if you'll start being the body of Christ and you'll start feeding people, and over the course of this series, you'll just take one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time, your faith is going to begin to be built up on the inside of you. You're going to begin to feel something that you've never felt before in your life. The expectation and the anticipation is going to begin to build in you, because you see, wow, man, I never dreamed that I would be a part of a team like this. I never dreamed that I would be making a difference like this. I never thought I would be the one feeding the hungry. I never thought I would be the one giving to those less fortunate. I never thought I would be the one inviting somebody to church. But you're going to say, man, I never knew it was really this easy. Anybody can do it. Let's prep, let's step, and let's rep, and let's let North Point Community Church change the world. Why don't you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.